This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Join us today at our new worship location at the Martin County Realtors Auditorium, located at 3204 A Southeast Federal Highway, Stuart, Florida. That's 9:30 a.m. today at the Martin County Realtors Building. This is located in the Wedgwood Common Shopping Center in the north end of the plaza. We look forward to seeing you today. Please join us for a wonderful time of worship in the Word. Let's go to our pre-recorded service now.
Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer. Because for the first 40 days of the new year, many of us for several years now, I believe we're at year number 5, have in some way set something aside to fast and seek God. Now, some have set food aside, or some food aside. We're not suspecting that anyone set all food aside. But some have set aside dessert. Some have set aside maybe one meal. Some have set aside maybe something in your daily schedule. Because it's not just about setting aside something for a season. It's about making room. We sing that song. There's room in my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room where? In my heart for Thee. And we know what that song's about. That song's about Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem and not finding a room available in the temple. But when we sing that, the admonition is not about Bethlehem and a room in Days Inn, but it's about God finding time in my life where I have made Him a priority for Him to come and dwell in a greater way. So we're going to start 2022 with 40 days of feasting on God. Not going to call it fasting, we're going to call it feasting on God. If you call it fasting, you may think it's negative. It's not negative. We're going to talk about pursuing the presence of God through prayer. Pursuing purity through prayer. Purity. Pursuing purpose. You might call that the will of God. Discerning the will of God. Understanding the will of God. Through prayer and experiencing power, the power of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives through prayer. And God desires His presence to be in His people. He desires for His purity to be in His people. God desires His will to be the will of His people, and God desires to to show off in His mighty power through, yes, us, His people. I am not celebrating anything pagan when I celebrate the birth of God's Son. It's not about the date on the calendar, because the date most likely is wrong. So the date is not what we celebrate. Hallmark is not what we celebrate. Amen. The gifts that we give or receive is not what we celebrate, but we celebrate Christ and we celebrate God's gift. And so it's redundant, but it's worth saying. I'd like you to join me in just saying this scripture that tells us everything about what our celebration of the birth of Christ is about. And it's John 3:16. A few weeks ago, I said that was Papa's testimony. Let's just say it together, because it truly is what Christmas is about. For, let's say it, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so, for my messianic friends that are here today, I will join you in building the sukkah, and I will enjoy the feast with you, but let us enjoy together the gift of God's Son as well. Amen. And we are blessed to have many messianic friends, and we have some that are in the building this morning. Don't look around. Maybe somebody's sitting next to you. Amen. That's full of the Holy Ghost and is of Jewish lineage. And so we love all of the Jews. We pray for them, the gospel to them first. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to pick up this morning with what I believe is a picture that could give us some advice at this time as we move to the end of the year and into a new year. Luke chapter 2. Is there anyone else here that loves the shepherds and the story of them? I love the shepherds. I love the fact that they were simply doing a no-name job. Anybody could be a shepherd. We don't even know their names. It doesn't give us their names. They were simply ordinary, common, sort of, you know, not recognized too much for what they did. They are out at night in the fields. Look at verse 8, chapter 2. Luke, I'm reading from the NLT. That night, some shepherds were in the field. We don't even know how many. We just know it was more than one or two. There was a group of them. They were in the fields outside the village. What village? Bethlehem. Guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared. Now the New Living Translation uses this word in the next few verses, suddenly, two different times. When you read Mark's gospel, you will find that Mark loved the word suddenly or quickly. Mark must have been one of those guys that you had to walk fast to stay up with. Maybe Mark was one of those who recognized that a slow-moving target is easier for the enemy to hit. Mark liked to speak about things that God did by the Spirit miraculously quickly. Here we are in verse 9. Suddenly, all of a sudden, there was no prior warning, just suddenly. There's one of those suddenlies. Again, I want to pause for a moment to say that some of you have been praying a while Remember how long this prayer meeting had been going on in Israel? While the darkness, silence had existed from Malachi until we come to the birth of Christ, 400 years of prayer meeting. No word for 400 years. It's been silent a long time. But then in the midst of all the silence, there is a suddenly. It's never too late for God to show up in your lives suddenly. Some of you have been praying a long time about something, maybe many things. It's not too late for God to give you a suddenly. I pray that for you. I pray that over our building project. I'm ready for some suddenlies. We've had plenty of drowsy, sleeping, slow, crawling. You know, a few months ago, we had an organization that came in. They were going to have this 5-mile run. Why don't you all come and participate? And I said, don't you have a turtle crawl entry level? No, they had no turtle crawl. I said, well, do you have a snail, slime, slide entry? No, we have nothing like that either. This is a run, a 5K run. And I said, well, don't expect me to be out there running 5K. Suddenly, you may not be able to do many things, but it's not too late for God to bring the supernatural to your family, to your house. Why not ask God to show up suddenly this year in your family, in my family? Why not just say, God, the enemy has tried to show up. The enemy's tried to show up in my house. I was counting this morning. In the last 12 months or so, 3 times the devil tried to kill me over the last 12 months or so. 3 times. One was with a pulmonary embolism, blood clots in my lungs. And the doctor said, I believe you have blood clots in your heart as well. I don't know. He said, 1 out of 2 dies. All I know is I didn't die. He said, you're the one that lived. Some of you should be thanking God. You are the one that lived. When someone came to me recently and said, the doctors told my mother to abort me because I would not be able to live a normal life. Today, that man serves with me at the radio station as one of our engineers. I don't know about you, but that embolism thing, when that came, it was shocking. I didn't know what it was. I just knew when I was teaching Bible study that night, I just knew something was wrong. And I knew the Holy Spirit said, preach the word. Don't stop doing what you're doing for God just because the enemy is trying to discourage you or shut you up. And I went into the Bible study that night, not knowing that I already had blood clots in my lungs. I didn't know that. I just know it felt like knives were inside of me. But I did know that God had given me a word to share that night. Now, if God had not given me a word and had given me peace to go to a hospital earlier, I would have done that. But God gave me His word and said, share my word. I would encourage you in this coming year to look for God to show up and make sure you're on God's agenda first and that you're not distracted or disheartened or giving up or shutting down because of what the enemy's report is. And so then when COVID came to our house, any of you have COVID come? How many of you? Just raise your hand if somebody in your family had COVID. Look at that, around the room. I think we're more than 90%. And we have antibodies. This is one of the healthiest places in the world to be, in the city of Stuart. We have antibodies. The other day somebody was telling me testing was being done overseas. And the count that they used, I don't know what the count means. Some of you who are in medical could probably help. I don't know. But the requirement is either you have this green card, and either the card says that you have a high count of antibodies so that you're resistant, or else you have to have a card that says you've been vaccinated. So this lady who was being taken care of, a friend a year ago, or a year prior to this test, had COVID. And so when she went in for her test, they said, now you have to have, I believe it was 200. The count had to be a minimum of 200, whatever that scale was that they were using in Europe. And so she went in for the test, and they were praying, of course, and she didn't know what the count would be, but the count came back 2,000. It had to be 200. It came back 2,000. So they gave her her green card and said, you don't need to be vaccinated. You are fully safe to travel and do what you need to do. I don't think our nation is quite caught up with some of this yet. But how many of you know that the enemy would have loved to have taken a bunch of us out? And even when some of us were turned away from the hospital, as I was, you know the story. They said, we can't help you. Go home and take Tylenol and ibuprofen, and if you can't breathe, come back. I want you to know I went because I couldn't breathe. And they put me immediately on oxygen because they said my oxygen was so low. I don't know what it was, but instantly they had me on oxygen. And after 3 hours of oxygen, they tested my oxygen while I was on oxygen and said, your oxygen is too high to be admitted and put on a respirator, so we're going to send you home. By the time I got home, I could barely breathe. But God wasn't finished. Three times. The doctor did the stress test. How many had a little stress test this last year? I don't mean at the doctor's office. You just had a little stress test around your family, around your life, maybe around your job, a little stress test. Well, it was my first time to go in and somebody be paid to put me under stress. And so they did that, and it felt really weird because I couldn't get on the incline because my knee was complaining. And so they said, we will give you the injection. And so I had the injection, and no bells or whistles went off. I just knew I felt really strange. But later they would tell me, you have blockage. Definitely have blockage in your heart. We have to do a heart cath. And so, thinking about that, I was looking over my devotional notes, and I have two pages where one of those mornings I was writing down, if I go in for a heart cath, If God ends up taking me home, I mean, that was the third time in the year that I thought about, what if Jesus calls me home today? You know, you're getting prepped, you're going in. I mean, I've been with a lot of families. I know it's sort of ordinary and mundane, and it's done every day. But I was thinking in my devotions, and so I had two pages of notes that I was writing down that I wanted my wife and my family, things I wanted them to know about, just in case God decided to take me home. But again, God told me, you have to say it. I will live and not die. You all know I came in on the Sunday morning following that and said, I will live, I will not die. God has given me His word. I will live, I will not die. And if God has given you desire to live, then you should be able to say those words, I will live and not die. God is not finished with me yet. God is not finished with my sons and my daughters. God is not finished with my life. God is not finished with His church. God is not finished with abundant life. God is not finished with this nation. And so I'm looking for some suddenlies, because what we need today is not more of us, but we need more of Him. So suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. That would be okay too, right? For an angel to show up, for the glory of the Lord to totally surround you. They were in a dark field. And in this dark field, in the darkness where they are guarding their guards, the angel shows up, and the glory of the Lord lightens miraculously the darkness so they could see. David said it this way. He didn't talk about being surrounded by the host and the glory of the Lord. He said, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. In this coming year, as we're thankful, we're joyful, we're prayerful, we are mindful of the fact that God is with us. She wrapped him, snuggling close. The verse before is the birth, then the shepherds, and the suddenly, and the angel appeared, and the glory of the Lord appears. It surrounds them. And if you're going to be frightened, this is the only fear that I see as being acceptable. It has to do with having fear of the Lord, reverence and respect for the Lord. But even when you have fear of the Lord, it does not paralyze you. It does not stop you, but it releases the Word of God in you and through you so you can be a messenger. Look, they were terribly frightened. The King James says they were sore afraid. Right? Sore afraid. They were terribly frightened. I believe they were probably shaking. But the angel assured them, don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news, a great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. This is how you will recognize Him. This will be a sign unto you. Now, I'm not sure these shepherds could have taught a class on discerning the will of God. I've preached many sermons on the will of God, series on the will of God. I studied the will of God, studied it from the Scriptures, studied it from a theological perspective. Do you know that God had no problem communicating His will to these common shepherds? Do not think for a moment in this coming year that God does not know how to speak into your life in a clear, meaningful, and significant way. If God could speak to common shepherds, you and I need to say, God can certainly speak to me too. If God could speak to shepherds, and He did, then God, You can speak to me too. If You can reveal Your glory to shepherds, and if You can give shepherds eyes to see. Now, many would question what they said. Many would question what they saw. Many would question their report. But it didn't change what they saw and they heard. Listen, maybe no one else will hear God talking to you, but the important thing is, if God is calling you by name, that you hear Him. And that you say, like Samuel, as I was praying this morning, again this morning I said, Father, speak, for Your servant heareth. Speak. Can we move into this year and say, Father, speak to me. Open my ears. I want to hear what You have to say. I want to have eyes to see Your glory, Lord. I do not want to only see the darkness. I don't want to only see the bear or the lion that would roar in the darkness and in the shadows. I don't want to only see the demons that are in the darkness, but I want to see the angel of the Lord, the angel of the heavenly host, the warriors of the heavenly host. I want eyes to see that my God is on this turf with me today. In this year, in my house. Yeah, and even in my children. And even in my health report. And in my marriage. And even in my bank accounts. I want to see the glory of the Lord. So the shepherds, God was able to get their attention. God was able to calm their fears. And God was able to reveal Himself in a meaningful way. And He always brings a report that's good to His people. Good report. Have you heard enough bad reports? I have. I would like to say I've heard enough for my whole life. If there were no more, I don't need to hear about another Omicron or another variant. I'm not looking to see how many variants there can be. I just know this, that in the midst of the darkness, God still rules. And in the midst of the roar of whatever's in the darkness, God is still with us. Emmanuel, God is with us.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible.